Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I are talking about food allergies and food intolerances and what to do if you think you have one. All right, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
So in this episode, I'm going to be asking Katie some questions on food allergies and intolerances. Are you ready, Katie?
I was born ready. Just kidding. I was ready about 4 years ago, or, you know, when I started all this.
So,
just cut that out. That was stupid.
We have to get like the stupid stuff we say out in the beginning.
I know.
And then we get our rhythm on. So I might be getting ahead of myself, but I kind of feel like this would be a good preface of why are there so many allergies nowadays?
That's a great question. I think this answer is twofold. I think there's a big part of the diet industry. It's almost, are you allergic? Are you intolerant? I think a lot of it out there is self-diagnosed. Not that that's a bad thing. You know, I think it's really good that we are in tune with our bodies. You know, we know what works well, what doesn't. I think it's not necessarily that there's more allergies. I think people are just more aware of that's what it is. People are getting tested more frequently, more diagnosed. You see more awareness, especially with kids, right? They put the, is it the blue pumpkin, like on Halloween, allergy-friendly houses, things like that.
I think most school classrooms, from the people I've talked to, they're completely peanut-free because, you know, there's enough peanut allergy kids in the school that it's just like no peanuts are going to be in the classrooms.
Right. But when we were growing up, I mean, you had one kid who had a peanut allergy and you all just knew who that kid was and you knew you couldn't have peanuts or whatever it was in that setting.
I can't even think of anything to do with allergies when I was a kid. I don't remember anyone having any allergies.
I remember one person, Zach Richardville specifically, if you're listening.
Holla.
Holla. But I don't know why it sticks out in my head, because I think I wanted to eat a Reese's cup and he said, like, I will die if you eat that in front of me or something. But in my head, I probably thought he was joking, but now I know he was serious.
You don't forget a person that tells you you can't eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. All right, well, let's start by just defining these terms. So tell us about what a food allergy is, what an intolerance is, how do those differ?
So food allergy is when your body actually has a response. So your immune system is having some sort of negative response, basically fighting. There's something in your body that it's having a reaction to. It doesn't like it. It's putting up its defense mechanism. This may exacerbate itself in symptoms as mild as a runny nose, itchy eyes, just, you know, a little rash, something really small. But it can also be as severe as life-threatening. So going into anaphylactic shock, hives in your throat, tongue swelling up, like very, very severe that it could cause you to die. On the flip side, an intolerance is basically, what that means is your body's unable to digest a certain component of the compound in your food. So for example, a lot of people are lactose intolerant, meaning they're not allergic to all of milk, but they just don't digest the lactose, which is the sugar component in milk. They don't digest that particular part of the product. So these symptoms are a lot less more severe. Yeah, they're very unpleasant, bloaty, diarrhea, maybe even some nausea or, you know, a small rash. It could be something really unpleasant, but you're not going to die. It's just annoying and uncomfortable.
So the nutrition class that we took together in college, I remember reading in that book that 70% of Americans were lactose intolerant or lactose like insensitive. So number one, is that still true? And what is lactose insensitive?
So insensitive would just mean it's almost less severe than intolerance. So think allergy, intolerance, sensitivity. That would be kind of the ranking, I guess you could say. But yeah, that's true. A lot of people are lactose intolerant. Part of this happens as we age. People actually can develop a lactose intolerance that has to do with just, you know, hormonal, your changing of your enzymes and how your body just, your body, what your body does to break down things, your metabolism, all those things change as we age. And so that's why that can develop as well. I also see it in my bariatric patients when they go through weight loss surgery. A lot of them develop a lactose intolerance, and that has to do with some of the enzymes that are no longer produced or lack of in their gut when it comes to breaking it down.
All right, so let's focus on allergies. I bet a lot of us can name, you know, these most common allergens, but what foods can you be allergic to?
There's actually over 170 foods that are known to cause food allergies. That's why you hear all these crazy things that people are allergic to, like tomatoes, mushroom. Like, I hear the most random things that seem to have no correlation. Yeah. Like, people will be allergic to a sweet potato, but then they'll also be allergic to a nut, right? Or something that just has no correlation. So the reason we hear about specific ones is because there's eight what we call allergens that are known to account for 90% of these foods that people are allergic to.
I bet a lot of us could name these eight, but give them to us.
One we've already talked about, milk. The second one would be eggs. Third, peanuts. Tree nuts, think like your walnuts. Fish, shellfish, soy, and wheat.
No, what I'm wondering now is, okay, so is every other nut a tree nut besides a peanut? And how does a peanut grow is what I'm wondering. Do you know?
I feel like I should know this. Like, how does a peanut grow? Oh my gosh, I don't know. Peanut butter trees. That's what I think of, a peanut butter tree in my backyard. Tree nuts would basically be anything that grows on a tree. Listeners, stand by. We'll have an answer for you by the end of this episode.
All right. So like you said earlier, a lot of us are just more aware of our response to food. So let's say that I've noticed that I'm having a response to one of these highly allergic foods or even another food. What would be my next steps?
First step would be to meet with a specialist. So ideally a dietitian who specializes in food allergies. Someone like myself, while I have the knowledge, I could help get you by. I'm really not an expert when it comes to food allergies specifically. There's so much in the field of nutrition that with something like this that can be life-threatening, it's really important that you go to someone who specializes in this area. I think that also depends if it's you, if you're an adult. I'm sure you could even get more specialized in pediatric food allergies if it's your child or, you know, niece or nephew or someone that you're worried about. But meet with someone who's going to be able to help you, number one, get tested if it truly is an allergy, or figure out, you know, how do I live my life kind of navigating with this new diagnosis.
Right. And my sister-in-law found out at 30 that she was allergic to soy. And so exactly what you're saying. It's like she was noticing some symptoms and then she finally figured out that it was soy and she eliminated it and it confirmed that it was soy. And so now she's kind of figuring out how to live her life without soy.
Yeah, typically to identify an allergy, you'll go to a specialist who will actually run some tests to identify is it an allergy, but there aren't really any reliable tests that can really test for an intolerance, because an intolerance is, I mean, that scale is so subjective. There's just no standardized test in order to test for that. So a dietitian, what they would do likely is put you on some sort of elimination diet, meaning you'd almost like start from scratch, right? You're just starting your diet the way you eat at zero, and you'd slowly reintroduce foods, common foods that you think might potentially be causing it, and see if you can identify and pinpoint those symptoms. So for example, and I see this with my patients after surgery when they're not tolerating things, I kind of have them do the same thing, but on a much smaller scale. So let's say they think they might be allergic to lactose, or they might be having an intolerance. So I would say, okay, well, you had scrambled eggs with cheese for breakfast yesterday. Okay, well, you need to first just have an egg by itself. Okay, if it's not the egg, okay, then add the cheese. Okay, if it's not the cheese, then try it again and add the milk. Okay, so then you've identified it's that one thing that made the difference that caused those symptoms.
That makes sense. What's the second thing that we would do if we thought we had a allergy or an intolerance?
Really important that once you've identified those foods that are causing these symptoms, that you learn about the ingredients that are in your foods. A lot of ingredients go by different names. So for example, you know, sugar is not just on your food label as sugar, right? It's lactose, it's fructose, it's sucralose, it's sorbitol. It's all these different words that if you're not familiar what to look for, this is definitely important if you have an allergy, right? If you don't know what to look for of what another form of that food is, it could really hurt you.
Yeah, back to my sister-in-law, shout out if she's listening, but she, with the soy allergy, she has to avoid vegetable oil. So it might just say vegetable oil and the ingredients, but generally soy oil is, or soybean oil is in vegetable oil. Like they mix them together. So you have to figure that out the hard way.
The next thing you would need to do kind of once you understand what the names are and what to look for is really read your labels super carefully. So for example, if you have an allergy, you know, you might not be able to consume a granola bar that's produced in the same factory where peanuts are used, right? But if it's an intolerance, well, that's probably not going to hurt you. But being able to really read your labels and clearly define, you know, where it's included. So for example, with your sister-in-law, you know, she has to read labels and understand that this might not just mean in her food products. Soy might be, for whatever reason, in her cosmetics that might cause her to break out. It might be in other different items, lotions or things that could cause other symptoms.
Actually, that just reminded me, David's cousin's little boy has a bunch of allergies, but one of the allergies is to oats. Mm. And she was putting lotion that was made out of oats, which is kind of unusual. At least I wonder if my lotions have oats in it, but she was using a lotion with oats on it and like putting it directly on his face. And he wasn't having like a severe reaction, thankfully, but once she cut that out, his face was always like red as a little kid, and she stopped using that lotion and his face was never red. So as a mom, you're like, oops.
That reminds me, when I was in college, I babysat a little boy who had an egg, peanut, and dairy allergy. Oh my gosh, it was the scariest thing. Of course, in my interview, they're like, oh, and by the way, we need to actually see you demonstrate using this fake EpiPen that you can use it. Because he had gone to the hospital as a little baby because of all these different allergies. And that was really scary, though. But I had to know how to use the EpiPen in that situation, and they were so careful. But you know, she was like, oh, but you can drink your Starbucks soy latte around him, that's fine. But she scared me half to death that I was like, this can't be around this child. I'm not having that pressure of him like tipping over my latte and accidentally drinking it or something crazy like that.
You sound like a great babysitter. I should hire you. Okay, so what's the last thing that we need to do if we have an allergy or an intolerance?
Depending on the severity, this definitely can play a role in your life, and it can change your life. So making sure that you communicate with your coworkers, you know, people in the house, wherever you live, if you're in, okay, probably weird if you're an adult, you don't need to go tell your professors. But, you know, if you have kids who are in high school or grade school, you know, talk to the school, what are the things you do? Most places probably have a protocol, but I know, for example, at work, we have a birthday list. We do a lot of pitch-ins. And so on our sheet, on our birthday list, we have the allergies that people have next to their names. So for example, I have a couple coworkers. One's allergic to cilantro. One's allergic to corn. So making sure that, you know, we make dishes that are friendly for everyone, just as a common courtesy.
This is not the same, but it makes me think of this episode in The Office where Pam, she's pregnant and she is like really sensitive to eggs, like the smell of like hard boiled eggs. And so she asks one of the other people to not eat eggs. And then she also asks someone else to like not wear the lotion that they're wearing. And yeah, that just makes me think of it.
Fun fact, did you know Pam from The Office is coming to Indianapolis?
What do you mean? Like a comedy show or what?
She's giving some speech on something at Marion DePaul. Are those the same things? I don't know. One of the colleges here in town. Clearly, I'm still not an official Hoosier.
I like how you're just like, she's giving a talk on something. But I'm intrigued.
I mean, what else do you need to know? Also, for those of you listeners who've been just sticking around just because you want to know what is a tree nut, we have defined tree nuts include, but are not limited to, almonds, Brazil nuts, those are the big giant ones, mm-hmm. cashews, chestnuts, coconuts, filberts, which is also otherwise known as a hazelnut. Did you know that was called a filbert? Macadamia nuts, pecans, pistachios, pine nuts, shea nuts, and walnuts. The reason tree nut allergies are distinct from a peanut allergy is peanuts are legumes, whereas a tree nut is a hard-shelled nut. There's your fun fact for the day. Go mind blow all your coworkers.
Man, I'm so disappointed in myself because I knew that a peanut was a legume. I totally forgot. And yeah. All right, so we know exactly what to do if we think that we have an allergy. But I wanted to backtrack a little bit. You talked about pediatrics. What do we need to know about kids and allergies?
Now, I'm not an expert in pediatrics by any means, but definitely the recommendations have changed over the years. So if you're a new mom or, I don't know, you're thinking about kids. Why can't I talk today?
It's fine.
I'm definitely not an expert in pediatrics, but just a couple myths that I wanted to go over that I know I was surprised because I always heard this growing up, but they've definitely changed. So exclusively breastfeeding for the first 6 months has shown to decrease the risk of allergies in children. Using a soy-based formula does not. So we've always learned in school, breast is best, and I'm sure you would completely agree. But I thought that was interesting. It just goes to show that breast milk is liquid gold.
Yes, but I do agree with that, but it's such a point of judgment for people that, like, I don't even want to say that because it's like I know a lot of people try and it doesn't work for them. So it's one of those things where it's like if you really want to breastfeed and you can't, it would be really, really hard on you. So it's like you don't even want to go down that road of being like, breast is best. Why aren't you doing this? Blah, blah, blah. Know what I mean?
That's so true. But yeah, never judge because you don't know why they can't or what their situation is. It's not that they don't want to. Mm-hmm.
So I know a while ago, the idea was that you would wait a while before introducing these high allergic foods to kids. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that used to be the recommendation was you did not bring peanuts or anything around children under the age of 4 months. But now they're saying, I mean, the sooner you can expose, the better. The biggest recommendation is that, you know, as you introduce new foods, do them one at a time so that you can identify, is it a peanut or is it this, I don't even know what else you would give a child. Is it the Reese? I'm thinking, I've got candy on the brain. I gave up sweets for Lent. So all this talk about peanuts and chocolate. So don't give your child chocolate. But anyways, what were you going to say?
We didn't say anything about chocolate. So you're definitely just thinking about that. Because I'm thinking about eggs over here and you're thinking about chocolate.
Don't give your children chocolate. Give them eggs, peanuts. But yeah, now they're just saying keep an eye so that you can identify what it is that's causing them a reaction. And if they do have a severe reaction, call your pediatrician and go from there.
Yeah, I remember whenever I first started introducing solids with Sammy, it was like you bought the Benadryl and then you would introduce a food and just be like, okay, just waiting, you know, like it's a weird thing.
I imagine you just staring at Sammy in her little high chair, just like checking the color of her skin every minute.
All right, so let's end this episode with some stats and some facts. Also, I want to ask you an interesting question. So, stats and facts, go.
Fact, we learned about those 8 most common allergens. But recently, an allergy to sesame has becoming an emerging concern. So stay tuned. In the next few years, you might hear more about sesame becoming a major food allergy.
Interesting.
Which would be really unfortunate for me because I just bought that Trader Joe's everything but the bagel seasoning and it has sesame and oh, I'd be so sad. I put that shiz on everything now.
Okay, stat and fact number two.
According to foodallergy.org, researchers estimate that up to 15 million Americans have food allergies. And of this, 5.9 million children under the age of 18. So that's 1 in 13 children, or roughly 2 in every classroom. And 30% of the children with food allergies are allergic to more than just one food. So it sounds like there is some sort of genetic component, whereas if you have one, you're likely to have be at risk for more.
Yeah, what a bummer. Okay, stat and fact number three.
Once a serious allergic reaction occurs, so you might hear this as anaphylaxis, right? When someone's like choking or have all that swelling in their throat, the drug epinephrine is the only effective treatment. That's why people have to carry around EpiPens. It's also like getting a shot of adrenaline, but it has to be injected within like minutes. Like the sooner, the better. Otherwise, airways can close down and it's really life-threatening.
Ugh, wow, crazy. All right, stat and fact number four.
Just like as adults, we can get food allergies as we get older. Oftentimes, if kids are diagnosed with specifically milk, egg, wheat, and soy allergies as a child, they often can grow out of it over the years. But over the recent decades, children are taking a lot longer to outgrow out of these allergies than they were in the past. So who knows why that is? It's kind of terrifying, but super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's great that they could outgrow them at any point, but interesting as to why is it taking longer. So basically, we need to keep our eye on why these allergies are becoming more prevalent and why we aren't outgrowing them like we used to. All right, last question for you, Katie. Of these 8 allergies that you've listed, which one would be the hardest for you to have?
My first thought would be peanuts because I obviously love peanut butter. But I think eggs would be harder because I eat eggs all the time and eggs are in everything. So that would mean not only just no eggs, but that would mean no baked goods, no lots of things, no delicious carby goodness.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I asked you this, was the peanuts first. But there's also sun butter. There's like all these replacements for peanut butter now, right? Okay. So I think you could get around that. But I totally agree. Eggs, like, they're probably in so much processed food that, okay, yeah, like, avoid processed food, but that's to real. Never have any of that. And eggs can just hide so easily. So you'd have to be, like, really diligent.
So if you're listening, we hear you. Food allergies suck, but hopefully this episode helps you if you're experiencing some of these symptoms, you're not quite sure what to do, but feel free to send this episode to a friend or family member who you think might find this interesting, maybe has been recently diagnosed, and maybe it'll help.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. If you guys have any questions for us, shoot us an email at fitfriendshappyhour@gmail.com. Don't forget, if you've been listening to us for a while, we'd love it if you would write us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. We will be forever grateful. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so that you get our episodes downloaded when they first get released. Okay, well, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.